about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective. Okay, well, I'm not actually sure how this is supposed to work, so if you'll just bear with me for a second. I want to say that,
if you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Stop talking about Amanda Bynes.
Maybe you don't know what we're talking about because you have a real job and a family.
I mean, Amanda Bynes? Really? Is this what we get excited about now? The girl from All That.
My friend told me she wore a crazy wig to her arraignment. What am I supposed to do with that?
And now...
She blinded me with science!
Our feature presentation.
He just sounds like a crazy old man.
He is.
Sounds insane.
I'm Buzz.
Criminally insane. I enjoyed that. I laughed several times throughout the weekend just with that popping into my head.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 10th of June.
Beer Mug's so lucky he gets to go to a funeral today.
I know. And look how nice he looks.
It's weird to see him wearing shoes like a person, yes. Like a human who has a job and cares. Right?
But they're dress shoes, and it's throwing me off.
Yeah.
You think a man is standing behind you? Keep trying to whip around?
Yeah. I don't understand what's going on. Usually it's those bright yellow flip-flops from Del Taco or whatever it is.
Yeah, Muggs is mostly clown shoes, if he shoes at all. But I guess he had to dress up to blend in this morning. Well, it is a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday. Here's an interesting story. You ever think much about those guys that you see sometimes out on the beach with the metal detectors? They're out there in the morning and they're going through the sand looking for stuff. Do you ever think they come up with anything?
No.
Yeah, I think they do.
I don't.
I mean, if nobody
can't
ever...
do it all the time, look, every day, and they do.
But look at
them. Not
get
anything.
But look at those guys. Those guys are not making a living out there.
No, not
they're
that.
Retirees or homeless or something else, and they've got nothing but time.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm trying to figure out what the draw is of that, because it does seem like it's the type of hobby where the payoffs would be very small and very far in between, right?
Like, a lot of loose change.
I found the quarter.
Like 99% of the time, you're out there and you don't find it. You find a tin can or something. Well, there's a story of a man in the news named Wesley Carrington. He decided he was going to get into the metal detector business. So he bought himself a beginner's tool. Watched some YouTube videos. Drove to the closest forest to his home, about 20 miles away.
Forest.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know why. I mean,
I didn't think anyone did it at the forest. I only thought it was a beach thing.
I guess he doesn't live near the beach.
Not everybody lives near a beach, right? So you just go to where land is, I guess, that you can walk on. So he was out there for about 20 minutes, and he found a spoon.
Yeah!
He's in England, he found a half penny. And then a third time, he dug 7 inches down and uncovered a Roman coin.
That's a
gold coin.
Yeah.
That he then proceeded to continue beep, 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 beeping and found 158 more of them. It is the largest collection of Roman gold coins ever found in England and is worth over $150,000.
If he was doing this in that area, he had to be looking for that, don't you think?
He had no idea of,
what?
I mean, like I said, he'd never done it before. He just went because it was literally the closest place to his home that he said that he knew that he could go and, you know, and find lots of land.
He hadn't
heard
there's a hidden treasure someplace around.
Nobody knew about it.
What?
Nobody knew about it. Yeah, and he has to split, apparently he has to, and I'm not sure who he would have to split it with, because it sounds like it's public lands if he went out into the woods, but he does have to halvesies with how much it's going to be worth, but that's still going to be, it's going to be worth about 80 grand to him for going out there. His first time ever searching for anything with a metal detector.
That's
20
absurd.
Minutes, 80 grand.
Beginner's luck. He'll never find one single thing, not a tin can, nothing ever again. But he will be out there day
that
after day after day.
And every other guy in England.
Yes.
All encouraged by this will find nothing.
He's going to take half that money and buy a better thingy
right,
that he
exactly.
can search with.
Who knew he needed that?
The coins are going to be sent to the British Museum, by the way. They're going to go on go on display. So apparently this is an incredible find. People are just amazed by it.
I think it's BS that he has to split it with anybody.
Because he did the work, right?
It's finders keepers, right?
Well, maybe, unless it's somebody else's land. And then,
yeah. Hmm. He says he chose his location by driving to the closest area of woodland where I live. So there
that's
you go.
That's crazy.
But that probably will fuel millions of, you know, old people with metal detectors around the world for the next 20 years. They'll think, well, it happened to that guy. Maybe it'll happen
to
me.
It's just like going to Las Vegas and winning. It's the worst thing that
could
possibly
happen.
Because then the rest of your life, you'll be going, yeah, but that one time.
That's a good point.
I'm going to go on back. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Woo! Yeah!
All right. Woo! I don't know that it's quite that good. That might be too much. Comedian Dion Cole will be on the program today.
Very funny.
telling us about a new TV show he's got on. We have Group Love coming in studio. Yes. We're going to world premiere a song from them.
Awesome.
How about that?
I like those guys and girl.
As do I. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com checking on what celebrities did over the weekend.
Amanda Bynes, maybe?
Stupid. Amanda Bynes, probably. And we got the D in studio today, Tenacious D.
How awesome is that?
They're back. They've got a brand new event to tell you about. And we'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ooh, Ralph Remix, nice.
All right.
We're going to send someone to the Reading Festival in England today. Grand prize drawing of Festival Flyaway Destination number 3 is coming up. And we are also going to start qualifying you for Destination number 4, which is Rock in Rio in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. What a show this is. Muse, Metallica, 30 Seconds to Mars, The Offspring, so much more. That'll be at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. Ralph Garman joins us. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
When my baby smiles me, I go to Rio de Janeiro.
It's a very painful memory when you bring that up, Ralph. Thanks.
I'm sorry, did Peter Allen do you in the butt?
I don't know what happened. No.
Why is that a painful memory?
Pablo Cruz had the hit recording of I Go to Rio. And you know, I had that ugly incident with Pablo Cruz.
Oh, because you were a dick.
Threatened to sue me, remember?
Yeah, Bean had PabloCruz.com, whoever that is.
And they deserved it. Nothing with.
And he or they wanted it. And he wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah.
Because they were dicks about it. It just got ugly.
Yeah,
I'm just saying now, whenever I hear a Pablo Cruz song, it's a little painful. That's all. So thanks, Ralph.
You deserve it.
I like my Peter Allen version better.
Okay.
Let me give you something, people. It's Monday. It sucks. You're up early. You have to go to work or school. And you're like, blah, blah, blah. Let me make your morning a little better. How about some passes to the K-Rock screening of the brand new feature film World War Z.
Yay!
World War Z is in theaters everywhere on Friday, June the 21st. However, you, my good friends, will get to see it at the Arclight Hollywood on Tuesday, June the 18th. A couple days before it comes out, you'll be telling your friends, oh yeah, Brad Pitt and I, we're close. I went to see World War Z. He invited me to a special screening the other night. Tell him it was Brad Pitt.
You really are getting all of the best movies this spring and summer.
Yes.
It's been crazy.
Because, you know, I'm a mover and a shaker when it comes to Hollywood.
Right.
Hollywood waits for my opinion on things.
They do take their cue from you. That's
they
true.
Take their cues.
Yeah.
They're curious what I'm thinking and feeling.
Sure.
I'm the barometer, if you will.
Sure.
Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get through. Boom. Pair of passes for World War Z. Can't wait to see that film, by the way. Another film I can't wait to see, by the way, this weekend is the new Superman film.
Oh, sure. That's out this weekend?
Man of Steel.
Fantastic.
Comes out this upcoming weekend. A lot of fans up in arms.
Why?
A lot of fans.
What are they upset about?
Well, the costume.
What about the costume?
Well, you know, famously, Supes wore a blue union suit, as they call them.
Okay.
With a red cape, red briefs.
And who dared
red boots?
Who dared change that?
Well, the makers of Man of Steel have removed his briefs. No red briefs on the outside. Now it's just like a blue onesie all the way from the boots to the top. Just there's nothing in the middle there. It's no more briefs. And a lot of fans are saying, "Hey, that costume's been good enough for I don't know 75 years, 80 years. Don't f with it, Zack Snyder."
Those fans should look into chicks.
But he said that he had to lose the red trunks.
Because,
and I love his explanation, he wanted to create a film about a Superman that exists in the real world.
Ah.
So, apparently, if you take off the red briefs from the costume, boom, a guy that flies around who's from outer space, who has superpowers, is immediately made grounded and real in our world. Because he doesn't wear red briefs.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
See what he's done there? He's made it real. The minute you take this briefs, I'm like, yeah, now I buy it. Now it's just like the guy who lives next door to me. It's just like the real world.
I love both sides of this story. I love that he has to respond. I love that they're angry.
Here's the thing about Kevin.
What?
It was so funny. As I was listening this morning, Beam was telling his metal detector story.
Yeah.
Your immediate go-to reaction, your default position is, that's BS. No, no way. Lies. Conspiracy. You discount anything anyone does that's positive ever.
He was talking about positive. He was talking about the metal detector.
And you're like, he knew it was there. That's why he took it out there. He knew it was in the woods. He's like, no, he just was near his house. That's absurd. You actually said those words about a news story.
Why does Kevin hate
the truth? The minute anyone tells you a story that has a quality to it, it's like, wow, that's amazing. You're like, lies.
Kevin
conspiracy.
Is very cynical. If you walked in from outside and said, hey, it's raining, his default position would be, I doubt it.
The guy knew stuff was there. Stupid.
A guy just got the metal detector and went someplace close to his house and ended up finding the world's largest stash of Roman coins.
Things happen sometimes. Okay. That's what makes them newsworthy.
Right, but I can question that. It seems a little unlikely.
Absurd. He knew it was there. All the time it was there.
And how would he know? No other coins had been found. They'd been underground for like 1,000 years.
Absurd.
But there's hundreds of stories where there's supposed to be, you know, treasure someplace.
But this isn't one of those stories.
Well, okay, I didn't know that at the time. I didn't read the story ahead of time.
But that's what makes it newsworthy. The reason they tell you about it, because it's like, can you believe it? What a coincidence that just happened.
And then 99% of the time, it turns out to not be a coincidence.
Lies.
Thank you. Thank you.
99%.
You're with me. Thank you.
Well, here's another one of those stories.
Uh-oh.
John Malkovich was working in Toronto outside taking a smoke break.
No, he didn't.
Absurd. Smoking. Toronto.
Am I Jim Rome?
Jim Rome.
He's starring as Casanova in a film called The Giacomo Variations. And so he's standing out front, and a 77-year-old man named Jim Walpole trips and falls and hits his neck against some scaffolding that's outside. They're doing some construction on the outside of the building. Hits his neck, slashes his throat.
Oh my God.
Cuts his throat. Malkovich promptly whips off his scarf. First of all, why are you wearing a scarf?
He's an actor.
That's the most important part.
Wrapped it around his neck and applied pressure, stopped the bleeding until an ambulance could arrive. Literally saved this dude's life from bleeding out, from putting pressure on the wound on his throat.
That's impressive.
Absurd. Didn't happen.
He
didn't.
Lies.
I said it's impressive.
Lies. PR.
Set up.
PR. Set up. Agent released it. False story.
Don't know, man, because you weren't there.
Guy probably got scratched. It was a scratch. Absurd. Lies. The guy, Walpole, 77 years old, had no idea who John Malkovich was.
That's great.
But he said...
He was heard saying, why did that guy have a scarf?
He's found out since, and he said he has now vowed to watch all of his movies. So he's going to go back and get the complete John Malkovich collection.
Excellent.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, life-saving actor... Lies, absurd, PR. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Deal of the Pixies and the Breeders, 52 years old today. Jeannie Triplehorn, she's from the Big Love show. Done other stuff, too. 50 years old, Jimmy
Chamberlain. No bell for Miss Triplehorn.
I think not.
I think her bell days are...
Attractive older woman, just leave it at that.
Jimmy Chamberlain, Smashing Pumpkins. Zwan, of course, 49 years old. My buddy, actress Kate Flannery, who played Meredith on The Office for all those seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Philly girl, 49 years old. Model actress Elizabeth Hurley is 48. Joey Santiago of the Pixies. Hey, we got two Pixies celebrating their birthdays today. He's 48 years old. Our buddy comedian Bill Burr is 45. Happy birthday, Bill. DJ Qualls is 35. Actor Shane West is 35. Lily Sobieski celebrates her 31st birthday. And model Kate Upton.
All right.
She's 21 years old today.
She just turned 20. Awesome. She just turned 21.
She can finally get a drink.
Wow. Oh my
Someone buy that girl a drink. Buy her a lot of drinks. And then push her towards my room. I'm Ralph Garman. Up to lies. Absurd.
So there's the TMZ television show. There's TMZ Live. There's the TMZ tour that you can get in Los Angeles or New York. And, of course, there's TMZ.com. And our friend Harvey Levin joins us every week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Harvey. How was your weekend, sir?
I was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine. Good to be back. Good to speak with you. I have to tell you, usually I look at your site and it's just all entertainment and I'm yucking it up and having a good time. I'm starting to get sick to my stomach about this Paris Jackson story, and I'll tell you why. She gets out of the 72-hour hold. They take her to the hospital, and her people basically have to fight through another 100 paparazzi and reporters standing there. Isn't this the time to stand back and give this little girl a chance to heal?
Yeah, I mean, look, I get your point, but... You know, this is a very public family, too. And remember, Paris wanted to be in the spotlight. And I'm not saying that it's a good thing that this happens, but when you have the media and everybody says, well, wait a minute, I'm not responsible for the other 20 people, I'm just me. And then all 19 say that, suddenly you have 20. That happens in so many of these situations where it's not like everybody gets together and says, let's have 20 people go to this place.
Right.
So,
I understand.
And at the same time, I mean, look, this is a public family. It's pretty ironic that she's taken to the same place where her dad died, and it becomes, look, I mean, this is a very tricky case where you've got an 83-year-old grandmother taking care of these kids. There have been a lot of people saying she's not capable of doing it. You've got a kid who's had problems and done things like this in the past, this being the most serious. And now there's an issue of who's going to become guardian. Maybe it's still going to be Catherine, but who else could become guardian of Paris Jackson and the other kids if she's just not capable? I mean, there are some real issues that are going to surface here.
And Paris has established a relationship with her birth mother, Debbie Rowe, in recent times, right?
A big relationship. And this happened probably in the last 2 or 3 months. And it seems like she's closer to Debbie than Catherine right now. And, you know, that may be a sign of something. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that may be a sign of something as well. Because remember, Debbie Rowe was completely estranged from Paris Jackson and the other kids, after she divorced Michael Jackson. She really, in fact, she had to sign something saying that she wouldn't have any contact. And then, as a matter of fact, she fought in probate court to get some kind of guardianship visitation right because they didn't want to give it to her. And all of a sudden, Paris is glomming on to Debbie, and it looks like there's a more meaningful relationship there than with Catherine.
Do you think that Paris, who's what? I guess she's 15, really. I think I said 14 earlier.
She's
Do you
15.
Think that, is she in the hospital for physical reasons or for mental reasons right now?
It's really more mental. I mean, she's okay. She didn't do critical damage to herself, and they knew that very early on, like within hours. But it's really more psychological. I mean, UCLA has a really good psychiatric facility. In fact, I don't know if you remember, that's where Britney Spears was taken when she was put under a psychiatric hold. So she was at Children's Hospital, then moved over to UCLA, and it appears it was done because of the parents, the family wanted her there.
Well, I was just thinking at some point she's going to have to get out of the hospital and go back to school, but school's probably out or close to it by now, so she's probably just going to be done for the year, I imagine, right?
Yeah. I mean, and one of the things she wants to do is she wants to do a movie.
That's what she needs.
Wow.
I know. But, she has an opportunity to do it. How many kids would turn that down?
Yeah.
Well,
that's
who
true.
Knows?
All right, let's change the topic to something more fun. Justin Bieber.
Oh, man.
Now, tell me, Harvey, because I don't understand how the law works on this. He apparently is being sued because one of his bodyguards pulled a gun on somebody and insisted on the memory card. Now,
well, had a gun. Didn't pull a gun, but had a gun. But basically wrestled the camera away from this photog because Justin didn't want to be seen.
Okay, now.
Was he in a public place?
The photographer, yeah. If you're asking me, does this look like it's robbery, I can short-circuit it and say yes.
Yeah, I'm asking you who's right. Whose rights, who has the rights here? Because it seems like if he's taking pictures, he can take pictures. You can't get his memory card, right?
It's even more ridiculous than that. There were three incidents, and one of them, this photographer wanted to get a picture. Justin apparently wanted to reveal this new neck tattoo that he has, in a more dramatic way than with his photographer. So, we have an audio tape with one of these encounters where you hear Justin say, "Get that camera." So he's telling the bodyguard to get it, and that's called robbery.
Yeah,
when you take somebody else's property by force, that is classic robbery, and there's an investigation. This kid is playing with fire.
Yeah, I mean, he really is. It's just, it's astonishing that we can have you on every week and there's some new trouble that he's gotten into. He just can't get out of his own way, can he, Harvey?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think he's circling the drain. I really do. I mean, I
hope you're right.
And you know, I got to tell you, I was really a defender of his for a long, long time, but he lost me when he started racing around that neighborhood in that Ferrari. I mean, he really lost me there.
He has really been on a strong march right into Doucheville.
Well, yeah, and you know what? To me, Doucheville is what you wear. And I'll grant you, I'll put him there, you know, in the wardrobe department. But this is worse than Doucheville. I mean, this is, you know, when you start stealing people's property, when you start, you know, racing around a neighborhood where there are kids and dogs and parents and, you know, in the street, that's
it's criminal behavior is what it is.
Thuggery.
Yeah, exactly.
Thuggery. I'm sorry. I just can't put that word together with Bieber.
That's thuggery.
So what you're saying, Harvey, is too much swag. That's the problem here, right?
Yeah, it's too much swag.
All right, and one last story I wanted to talk about, because this is fascinating, is Ciara on stage. Do you remember that one?
So she was at the she was doing a gay pride event over the weekend in L.A., and she got a fan hand her some papers. Turns out not to be a fan. It was somebody serving her with a lawsuit because she allegedly had promised to appear at a gay bar called the Hit Factory and was a no-show, and they're suing her because they said that they advertised it and it screwed them up. So they're suing Ciara for...
So she's performing, and she's walking around the stage, kind of high-fiving people and kind of getting down with the crowd, and some guy just hands her papers, and she's served while performing.
And I got to say, that is, as far as I can see, that's totally legitimate service.
Yeah, it sounds
totally
like it.
Totally legitimate service. I mean, honestly, this guy, whoever was the process server, should put that in his ad. I mean, you could go on Yelp or something and say, hey, look how good he is.
I think it ought to be a requirement in California, by the way, that if you serve someone with legal papers, you have to also then say, you got served, 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 get the whole crowd to start chanting everything like that, like they do in the movie. Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be so cool. Can I tell you a really quick story?
Yes.
Like, really quick. When we started People's Court a long, long time ago with Judge Wapner, the show became really famous very quickly. And I was at his house, and we were going over cases for the following week, and there was a knock at the door, and he comes back, and I'm sitting in the backyard, and he comes back and he says, oh my God, he said, I was just served with legal papers, because he was involved in some arbitration where somebody was just crazy.
Right.
And he said, I just got served with legal papers. And he seemed okay, and I said, why are you so okay with this? And he said, well, they asked for my autograph. When it just became famous. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I'll sign, sure.
All right, check the TV for all the various times you can find the TMZ TV show on Fox, and of course, TMZ Live at 4 p.m., and be sure to take the TMZ tour in L.A. and New York. Harvey Levin, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
So for the 14th season in a row, there will not be a repeat champion winning the Stanley Cup in hockey.
Yeah.
Not good times on Saturday night. Kevin, what was it like for you? Tell me about your experiences Saturday night.
Well, Saturday night was a crazy, crazy game because the Kings had to come from behind and score with like 8 seconds to go just to tie it to get it into overtime.
Yeah.
And that was ridiculous, the fact
I think it was 14 seconds left where they tied it up to force it into overtime. And this is the same game where the Kings came out and gave up two goals in what, like the first 8 minutes?
Yeah, and one of them was super soft.
I mean, it looked like it was going to be a blowout.
Yeah, one of them was super soft. The first one was a long shot that went right between, you know, our goalie's legs. And it was just like, well, okay, that sucks. Right. And I always got the feeling we were up against a better team. Just, you can kind of feel it. You can sense it. They're a really good team. And unless we play... 105%, we're not going to beat them.
Yeah.
Well, here's how it finally ended in the longest game in Los Angeles Kings franchise history, by the way, well into the second overtime.
Sends it around to the near side of the Chicago zone. Bickleman forces a turnover. Here's Taves and Kane. 2-on-1, hustling back his point. Now, Bershad's goal! Patrick Kane is over!
Yeah.
Patrick Kane had a hat trick, by the way. He threw three goals.
Sounded exciting. Sure wasn't. Yeah, Taze and Kane both are their superstars and weren't doing much most of the series, but he had a hat trick.
All right, cool it with the buzzer over there.
We're not that excited.
We know you won. We got it. Well, I was curious to tune in after the game and see what Coach Sutter from the Kings was going to have to say. You know, we've been enjoying his post-game press conferences because he's got no time for talking to the press after these games. He is not excited to be there at all.
He's certainly willing to give them a one-word answer and then just stand and look at them.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a very, very difficult interview. And, of course, if you're already worried that the guy is prickly and you don't want to upset him after a game like this, you know how hurt he is inside. You really got to be careful. So it was tough for those guys. And maybe tough for us here, too, but we want to welcome the coach back to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Hey.
Well, good morning. First of all, congratulations on a fantastic season. I know it wasn't the ultimate goal, but getting all the way to the Western Conference Finals, your guys played great all season long, and you should be very proud for what they did accomplish.
Should we?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Although that's really... Sorry, that's what losers always say.
That's right.
It's true, but that is what they always say. Yeah. But it is an accomplishment to get back that far. We were in the Final Four, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's good observation there.
How did you?
Well done. No, you really did your homework.
How did you feel about the game Saturday night?
Really?
Overall, I'm saying it.
Really? You're going to ask me that question?
Well, I'm saying other than the final where they won, do you think the team played well?
Not well enough.
Well, what could you have done differently, Coach?
Scored more goals.
Yeah. Right.
Stopped other goals.
Right. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's both just basics. But, I mean, I think in more specific, I mean, what was the problem with Patrick Kane? Why couldn't you contain him more?
He's one of the best players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you contain him?
Well, that's not really our gig.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Hey, where are you right now, Coach?
Practice.
Practice?
That's right.
Isn't this day one of the off season?
Yeah. Or the day one of preparation for the next season.
So you got the guys already in there working already for next year?
You lose, you practice. That's my motto.
At the end of the year, don't you have some off time so that the guys can heal and... get back in shape and all that?
You get in shape by working out.
Wow, tough. Yeah. Tough. How about you, Coach? You gonna take any time off in the off season at all?
Yeah, I'm gonna get me a hooker and go to Barbados.
That's a surprise to me.
Why? I deserve a little time off.
Right. It's just we don't think of you that way. We think of you going back to the farm, maybe.
Right.
You know what there is at the farm?
What?
Sheep.
Okay. Not as high.
Barbados.
What?
Black hooker.
Okay.
A lot of blow.
This is a surprising side of Coach Sutter.
Rum.
Sure.
Rum.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Before we go, Coach, anything you want to say to the Chicago Blackhawks?
Look, they're the best record in the NHL this year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're a great team. So,
Oh, you didn't even.
This is insane. What happened?
You were fine.
Having a conversation, Coach.
F you, Chicago.
Hey!
Sorry, my bad.
Absurd. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
The band Group Love is here at K-Rock. They're going to be joining us in studio coming up next, and we are going to be world premiering their brand new song called Ways to Go. That's fun. Get a chance to hear a song for the first time with the band. I hope we like it.
Just say
otherwise,
you do.
It's
going to
be very icy.
Just lie if you don't. Just do the
very
right thing.
Awkward sitting there going, wow, this is really good.
We love it.
Anyway, that's coming up. Tenacious D in the 8 o'clock hour on the way as well today on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's up?
Bean mentioned it is Monday, and as we do every Monday... let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Surprisingly, at number one, no one thought it would do this well, or that other films would do so poorly. The Purge, number one in its debut this weekend. $36.4 million made it number one.
Your movie is dumb, right?
I saw that movie.
It was on the poster.
I saw that movie, and I would like to say this in response to that question, mm-hmm. whenever it was last week.
Yes, you said to Ethan Hawke, your movie is dumb, right?
That movie was dumb. It really was.
Well, it looked dumb.
It really.
If Kevin says that,
Honestly.
Either like, means it was really dumb or he just didn't get it. One or the other. There's one or the other. There's only two options.
Well, you could take your choice.
I'm guessing it was probably really dumb.
It was really dumb.
But the people wanted to see it. $36 million worth.
At the end, you go, why? How come? But then, what's with them?
Well, now I think you just didn't understand.
No.
Now I think you're just confused, if that was your end reaction.
If I can't, I don't want to spoil anything. But
remember, you were like that when you saw Gone with the Wind. You're like,
how dare you?
Why those people fighting against each other, same country?
That's
North and South, both America. Why are they fighting?
That's because I slept through the middle six hours of it.
I remember. Fast and Furious 6 was number 2 at the box office, made a little over $19 million. Now You See Me was 3rd. Then The Internship, the new Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson comedy, only made $18 million, made it number 4 in its debut weekend.
I'm delighted to see that, by the way, because that also looked terrible.
I saw that. It was funny.
Why are you delighted to see Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson fail?
Because I want them to make better movies. Because you could tell from the trailer how horrible that movie is.
I don't think so at all. It seemed funny.
Really?
It seemed funny and it delivered what it seemed. So if Bean went, he probably wouldn't have liked it.
I don't care for this.
But if you thought it was funny, like I thought it would be funny.
There's not one Norwegian postman in this whole film.
It was funny.
Star Trek Into Darkness was 6th. After Earth, The Hangover Part 3, Iron Man 3, and The Great Gatsby were your top 10 films this weekend. This broke my heart when I heard this story. Poor Peter Mayhew. Peter Mayhew was Chewbacca.
Okay.
In the Star Wars universe. You know, he's a giant man. He's a 7 foot tall person.
We had him in last year, didn't we?
Last year we had him in about 10 years
quite
ago.
Quite a while ago, yeah.
Oh. We had him in yesterday, right?
He's here now.
Come on, all the shows just blend in. You know that, Ralph.
But not 9 years worth of blending in.
He was here on Tuesday, then what?
He actually came in the Chewbacca costume when he came in.
What?
You don't remember coming in the Chewbacca costume? He's in the parking lot. Chewbacca's in the parking lot. He came in the costume.
Not a memory of that.
Wow. You guys need to get to a doctor. How do you forget a 7-foot-tall Wookiee that came into your place of work?
It doesn't seem like the kind of thing we should forget. Certainly.
Well, in my defense, I never saw him. I just talked to him.
Same
I didn't
here.
Know he was in the suit. But
same here.
Dave reminds me that Seth Green was in that same day. We had
That's
Seth
right.
Green in that day, and he
yeah.
got his picture taken with Chewbacca. Last Everybody
week.
Was very happy.
It was last Thursday.
last week, right.
Anyway, Peter is a giant of a man, and as happens with many large men, he's got some health issues, including some bad legs,
okay,
knees especially. And so he walks with a cane. So he was going through the Denver airport last week, and the TSA confiscated his cane.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Now, here's why. Because it's a replica of a lightsaber.
And they thought it might be real?
So he was a real lightsaber.
I mean,
yes.
Come on.
So he walks with a replica of a lightsaber. That's his cane. It's shaped to look like a lightsaber, which is cute. But they wouldn't let him through with the cane. They confiscated it. He was very upset.
I can't see too far and I can't hear too good.
Peter was very upset. That was him yelling at TSA there, mixed with some other audio that wasn't nearly as funny. They later returned his cane, and he was able to board the flight thanks to an intercession by American Airlines. They actually went to TSA and said, look, it's Chewbacca.
He's Chewbacca.
Can we please have his lightsaber back? Can you do that?
Don't take Chewbacca's cane.
He's not taking the plane down. He's Chewbacca. He could fly this plane.
That's right. And he could make the Kessel run in 12 parsecs. he later thanked American Air on Twitter for stepping up. And running interference for him. So it had a happy ending, but I just feel bad. Giant cripple trying to get to his plane with no cane, for God's sake.
Sad.
The man done enough. Great news. Leonardo DiCaprio has signed for his next role.
DiCaprio.
That's right. He's going to play Russian legendary character Rasputin. Rasputin! Kevin, I don't tell you who Rasputin was.
One of the greatest characters in history.
Right. And he
was the king of Persia at a time when... I'm going to stop.
We should do a new segment, Kevin's History. We throw a historical character to Kevin, and he tells us the place that person had in history.
I don't remember much about Rasputin.
Hey,
I
come on!
I don't. I know he's a Russian dude, but I don't remember which one he was.
Rasputin
what did he do?
Rasputin was a psychic, in quotes, who advised the Russian royal family in the early 1900s, and he made him do all kinds of
wacky stuff.
Yeah, because he really had that believing that he was a man with mystical powers, and so he pretty much had the ear of the royal family and made them do whatever he wanted.
That's pretty cool.
And
that sounds like a neat movie.
And legendarily had one of the biggest penises in history.
Is that right?
Yes. His penis is actually in a jar in a museum in Russia.
Why?
Because it's a massive example of
That's
human
weird.
Penisry.
I don't think everyone can picture that. You don't need to have it in a jar.
It's in a jar. I'm just telling you.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
Yeah. So.
Sounds like a good movie.
It does. It's going to be cool. And DiCaprio, I think, would be a good role for him. Speaking of him, by the way, he's got a new girlfriend.
Yeah. Again?
Have you seen
Sarah
this?
Abramson?
No, not Sarah Abramson.
Who does she model for?
She is... Wait a minute. She is a model. How did you know,
what?
Dean? That's crazy. Yeah, she is a model. Oh, where is that story? I can't find it. Oh, here it is. She is a German supermodel.
Uh-huh.
She, as of right now, just walks the catwalk. She doesn't have any major deals with magazines or catalogs or anything like that.
Before she was seen with Leonardo.
Yeah, exactly. Toni Garn is her name. And she is 20 years old.
Oh, my God.
He was seen showing her the sights in Venice last weekend. Then they went to Morocco. And also he took her on a guided tour of the Palace of Versailles. So they're
seeing... Is that what he calls his penis?
Like most of our dates.
It's crazy, his life. Really,
it really is.
It really is. Kind of nuts. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Deal of the Pixies and the Breeders is 52 years old today. Her bandmate, Joey Santiago, guitarist for the Pixies, 48 years old. Jeannie Triplehorn is 50. Jimmy Chamberlain celebrates his 49th birthday today. Kate Flannery, my good buddy and very talented, funny actress. She was Meredith on The Office for all those seasons, 49 years old. Bill Burr is 45. DJ Qualls turns 35 years old, as does Shane West. Lily Sobieski, very talented actress, is 31. And model Kate Upton celebrates her 21st birthday today.
Boobies!
Indeed, sir.
She's 21.
She is just 21. Just every bit of it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Whatever happened to that band?
I don't know, man. They were good for a minute, but then they just vanished.
Went away.
Disappeared.
One album gone.
Oh, hold on a sec. Kevin, I'm getting new information here. Group Love in studio with us here on the Kevin Show.
We have Christian and Hannah and Andrew. Apparently, Ryan and Sean are sleeping in, so they're the smart ones in the band.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to K-Rock. What's going on?
It's crazy. A lot. Yeah, it's really great to be back with you guys.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
A pleasure to have you.
Exciting.
I think the last time we might have talked to you might have been at the, I don't know, you played Acoustic Christmas and Wiener Roast. You played them both, I think, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we did. So. I think it was acoustic.
Yeah.
Slayed them.
Slayed them. That's right. The band is here today because we have some details we're going to reveal about the new album, and we're going to world premiere a brand new song from Group Love called Ways to Go in just a couple minutes. Tell me about the first time you heard yourselves on the radio for the first time.
I actually remembered I was pulling out of my street with my dad, and my dad's almost 80 years old, and he... make a left turn, and I'm like, oh my God, Dad, I'm on the radio. Turned it up, and he's like, turn it down. I'm telling a story here. Honest to God.
Literally didn't.
Swear
it was
to God.
Just a distraction to him.
Yeah, I couldn't even believe it. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That's the coolest memory.
Yeah.
Was this one of those deals where you knew the song was going to be played, or did you just come on as a surprise?
I had no idea. This was Colors back in the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And
your dad didn't want to have anything to do with it. Didn't
no.
he say, look, that's me?
No, he didn't quite understand that. He didn't put that together.
He didn't. Ever?
No, he actually doesn't know him in the band still. He has no,
Hannah,
he has no
Hannah, what's your family think about your chosen profession?
I think they're psyched about it. I mean, I hope they are. They're not being very vocal if they're not.
They haven't told you? They haven't told you either way?
Yeah.
Does the family come to a lot of gigs?
They come to a lot when we're in Northern California.
Right. Yeah, which is
cool.
Reserved like 30 guest list spots for the Hooper
That's
Country.
True. Hooper Country. Hooper Country. They
Is it a little more nerve wracking when your family's there or no?
I kind of think it is. You know, but it used to be like a nervous thing, and now I just get weirder when they're around. I don't want them to feel nervous.
You just weirded it up.
Yeah.
Well, tell us what the process has been like. A lot of bands will say, you know, that first album is tough, but at least it's tough on your own. You know, there's nobody, there's no pressure. There's nobody expecting anything. There's nobody waiting for it. Now you put out a record and it sells big and you have fans all over the world and you kind of have a schedule, an obligation, maybe a tour set up. Now you've really got to get the second record done. And that can be very difficult for some people. What was it like for you?
I think we were lucky because we had a lot of songs to play around with, and we're always creating songs and coming up with them kind of quickly. We're not really sure how or why it happens, but
you started to do that on the road, wherever you happen to be, or whatever.
Yeah,
you're doing?
Could be in a dressing room like 10 minutes before the show. It could be, you know, when we're just hanging out, you know, just pick up a guitar and it comes sometimes. So
and then what do you write it down someplace? How do you remember all the stuff like that? 10 minutes before a show, you're kind of concentrating.
It's the voice memos on the iPhone, for sure.
Definitely used to be tape cassettes.
Yeah, tape cassettes.
Yeah. Christian has the biggest tape cassette.
I'm still rocking the tape cassette in my 89 Buick, actually.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Spoke rims.
That's a band
blue
car.
Blue plush interior.
Very nice.
And everybody in the band writes, right?
Yeah.
Everybody gets credit. Who writes the least? Let's be honest.
Who does? I don't know, actually.
You guys split it five ways, right?
Yeah.
So there's got to be somebody who go, come on.
I don't know.
Come on. Which one of you has to do the least?
Broccoli breath.
Broccoli breath.
Broccoli breath.
Yeah.
Were you able to, did you have any more either money or freedom or opportunities to do things on the second record that you couldn't do on the first?
We actually all lived together in a house in Hollywood Hills to make the record.
Yeah, this old Motown house.
And
fun!
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, a lot of rich musical history up in those hills, kind of where we were. So,
was there any point when you were living in the house and you thought this seemed like a good idea at the time, and now I'm sort of tired of?
I need a hotel.
That's how we wrote a lot of songs. I think we were like, oh my god, we're stuck here together. Like, this is like a square. The bus has just like turned inwards.
Yeah,
like, we can't escape. We
can't get away from each other.
Yeah.
I remember me and my girlfriend were trying to sleep upstairs, and all I heard was Hannah running down the piano. And they're screaming about beans on pizza.
Beans on pizza.
Yeah.
Is that a new song?
Yes, it is, actually.
It is. It is.
Well, that's terrible, right?
This like is 5 in the morning.
The voice of the band Group Love here, 3/5 of Group Love, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new album is going to be called Spreading Rumors. When's it going to be coming out?
September 17th.
Nice.
Beautiful. Yeah. What's the title all about?
That's another thing that kind of came on the fly. We were on tour, and
Jacksonville, I think.
Yeah, we kind of came up with that and just loved it at the moment, and then we forgot about it for a long time. We were at that house in L.A. recording, and Drew Madgett, our merch guy, and just like a production assistant on tour, was a really rad dude, came up, and he was like, what's the album going to be called, guys? We're like, I don't know. We're still thinking about it. We haven't come up with anything. He's like, what happened to Spreading Rumors?
We were like, oh, right. That
he remembered that, and none of you did.
Yeah, we kind of... You know, quick memory.
We're like, thank God you reminded us.
That's actually a very cool title. So it comes out in September, Spreading Rumors. We're going to be hearing the song next called Ways to Go. We're going to come back and world premiere that here on KRS. It's going to be the first time anywhere. What tell us about this song.
This is just a song that kind of came magically to us in that house. And we just kind of ran with it the night it came together and just really got excited about it. And it just kind of surprised us.
Every time you say magic, I hear weed, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what he means.
There's a lot of magic going on here.
It does seem like there's a lot of magic.
There's a lot of
pixie dust.
We don't know how it happened. Right. There's a lot of... We were just hanging out.
It's more like weed didn't know how it happened.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're very excited. Group Love is here. The song is called Ways to Go. Brand new music on K-Rock right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Song called Ways to Go. That is from the band Group Love, who are in studio. Well, guys, what do you think?
I got to tell you, Bean, it's funny to watch people's reaction because we've had bands in here before that throw their headphones off when the music is on.
Oh, really?
Literally, like, don't want to hear it. And I don't understand that mindset. You guys seem to be thrilled.
Cool.
I don't know. I don't know what it's about. I think they really are bugged by their voice or something. I don't know. Oh. I don't know what it is.
Ooh.
But that looked like it was fun for you guys, and it sounds like it's going to be a great song to perform. Do you write songs with that in mind?
Yeah.
We're going to be on stage and...
Yeah, definitely. Especially even picking songs for the album. We were like, which ones are going to be like really fun to play and really bring it, you know? And
this Well, one you guys do have so much fun on stage. I mean, it really is a party.
Yeah. We like to party. We like to party. I was like, that's a question. We like to party.
Put them down in the like category.
It was fun though to watch because Hannah, you in particular, are just grinning ear to ear as this song is playing. Andrew has his face in his hands, like, oh, we suck, man. So, like, just, what are we doing? That's Why are
focus,
we even here?
That's the focus face.
That's the focus face. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that was brand new. We are also streaming this at KROQ.com, by the way. So if you can't wait to hear it again until the next time we play it on the real radio, you can go to KROQ.com and stream it. It's called Ways to Go. As the guys told us, Spreading Rumors is the album. It's coming out on September the 17th. Are you guys doing a headlining tour this time around, or are you going to go out with somebody or what?
We have a special tour brewing for September, but we can't disclose.
No details.
No details.
That means we're opening for Kanye. That's what that means.
Are you going out with Bieber?
Bieber's tattoo.
Co-headline with Bieber.
Who did you get a chance to tour with or play with, even some shows here or there, that was super fun for you, like as fans?
It's been a lot.
Yeah, I know. That's so crazy. I mean, our first tour ever was super small clubs with Foster the People, which just really exciting because Pumped Up Kicks was like just catching on. So to really watch a song like, you know, firsthand grow that quickly was really exciting.
Could you tell from date to date to date that it was getting bigger and bigger by the second?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun tour.
And the power of a song, too. When people are like, it's the song! Like, oh, my gosh. Which is crazy, but... Also to have the opportunity to, you know, hang out with those guys and get to know them and see really, you know, all the love and support that an entire team does to, like, really get an album going was exciting to be a part of.
Sure. And that's the happiest song that has ever existed about a kid wanting to shoot up his schoolmates,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, totally.
In that category, that's a super happy song.
Definitely.
Now, when that started to happen to you, when people – was Color – did people start to know Colors first even before Tongue Tied, right?
Yeah, Colors was the one.
Right,
started off for us, yeah.
So you felt that also from the stage, right? And does that change like how you play it or where you play it in a set when you know it's kind of the one that people are there to see?
Yeah, you play it last.
Yeah, well, our first show ever, we played it fourth, and everyone's like, "You got to play that last." That was the last time we played it.
We also played the entire set in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Didn't have that much.
Like, dala, dala, dala.
No, you just like adrenaline. You're like your 45-minute set becomes 20 minutes. Yeah. He's like, "Got his hand, no need his hand."
I wanted to ask you guys one more thing. Again, this is the voices of the band Group Love here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We just world premiered their brand new song called Ways to Go. If you missed it, please go to KROQ.com. You can stream it there. We had something up on KROQ.com a couple weeks ago about a remix that you guys did of an Imagine Dragons song. And I'm very confused by that because I don't understand how that happened. What's the deal?
How did that happen?
That's a good question.
Bean, they don't have answers.
No,
we don't know.
Did you guys remix an Imagine Dragons song?
Well, we Group Love remix, but that's really just the magic is Brian, our drummer.
Yeah.
He is the remix master.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we're friends with the Imagine Dragon dudes. And
so he's got a little side business where he's doing remixes out of the back of the truck or something?
Yeah, it's definitely the back of the truck.
He goes. It's under Captain Cuts too, and they did like the first remix of Colors back in the day. And
oh, that's neat.
And we remixed ourselves.
They worked with our good friends Ryan McMahon and Ben Berger.
Yeah,
and,
Captain Cuts.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice
to
have somebody kind of nearby who can take care of those things for you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That was exciting. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. What else do you want us to know, guys? Before we let you go.
Really, September 17th?
Yeah, I know. It seems like. You know what? It's going to be tomorrow. Next thing we know, so just watch out. Tomorrow's September 17th.
Yeah.
That's odd.
We got a new music video that's coming out today too for Ways to Go. That's going to be on grouplovemusic.com.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah,
great.
It's gonna be wild.
And the song goes up for sale tomorrow. People can buy it tomorrow, right?
The pre-order, yeah.
That's what the guy in the other room was trying
to tell me. That's what he's trying to tell me.
He was trying to tell you tomorrow,
like
tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
like
jumping
and waving.
You could buy the song tomorrow and pre-order the album as well, which is super exciting.
But you should do.
And also our two bandmates,
that
our soulmates,
aren't
here to say hello. And Ryan misses you always, he says. I don't know what that means. He's a freaky dude. So. He's in New York doing God knows what right now.
I know. Yeah, he's on a bender. He's on a bender. Well, Sean's on a bender.
Sheezel's in Canada somewhere. Wears his hat and beard
Sean's
somewhere.
In Canada.
Well, those of you just tuning in, we just world premiered Group Love, and you're bad for just tuning in. But we're going to play it again at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Thank
you
guys.
You guys actually get to hear it on the other side of the radio in 30 minutes. How about that? All right. Let's hear it for Group Love, guys. Stopping by here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thanks
so much fun.
Thank you. Fun hanging out with Group Love, by the way. Such nice kids, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes.
Sure.
I want some of what they're smoking, too, because they seem very happy. Speaking of happy, Tenacious D joins us in about 20 minutes with some huge news. If you're a fan of the D and a fan of comedy, you are not going to want to miss it. That's coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, the National Security... Let me take that again. First, though, the National Security Agency is in the news. There is a whistleblower, a young man. He's only 29 years old, named Eric Snowden, who has kind of blown the whistle on two things that a lot of people didn't know about. One is this program called PRISM, which is collecting internet data. So all the porn sites that you go to, Kevin, the government now knows about and tracks.
Oh, they've known for a long time.
Two is Verizon had an order to turn over all call logs to the NSA. Now, these are Americans who basically are having their phone calls tracked, both sides of the call, along with the location data, how long the call was from, the time of the call. They claim the contents of the call is not something they're into. But who believes them at this point?
But isn't that question two? If question one is there anything fishy here, isn't question two, what are they saying?
Yes, exactly. That you would think that would be the information that they want.
Get it.
So, well, rather than all the speculation, we thought maybe we'd get the details right from the government themselves because they couldn't lie to us. We have William Campbell on the phone with us. He is the communications director of the United States National Security Agency, and we know how busy you are, Mr. Campbell. Thanks so much for taking the time out to join us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Got to be honest, we don't have a lot of NSA guests.
Okay.
So we appreciate it.
So tell us about this order with Verizon. What does it mean to the average person? How concerned should he or she be that the government is getting up in his business?
It shouldn't be concerning at all to the average American.
Okay.
Really, what this means is we are looking for anything that would be suspicious, would cause us to red flag a call, simply looking at the origin of the call, the destination of the call, when it was made, how long it was made, what type of transaction we can infer into a phone call like that. Is it a private citizen to a large government organization? Things like that. It's just simply looking for clues that help us distill information and get a better grip on what we need to know, in essence, to protect the citizens of this country.
But you're not spying on Americans.
No, we are not listening to the content of the calls. We're simply looking at, as I mentioned, their origin, their destination, their length, anything that might be the two parties who are making the phone call, if they can be identified, is there any sort of connection between those people and what we do? At that point is, if we think there's some reason for concern, given those phone calls, sometimes we can go and get a legally processed court order in order to take a listen to those tapes, those phone calls, and perhaps get some important information that may lead to the arrest of a potential terrorist or some other security threat to United States citizens.
And this is a program that's been around for a long time. It started under the Bush administration and has been kept in effect by President Obama. And we were told
it's really an important way for us to distill and obtain information that is critical in the battle against terrorism, both domestic and abroad. So if you're a citizen in the United States and you, you're acting legally and you have nothing to hide, then this should not be not only shouldn't be concerning to you, but should actually be give you a sense of empowerment and belief that we're actually working towards an end game here.
What kinds of people have you gone that extra step, Mr. Campbell, and asked to listen to the calls for?
Well, as I mentioned, we take a look at the information provided by a carrier like Verizon. They give us the origin of the call, the destination, the length of the call. Mm-hmm. And if there's something in there that seems to be concerning to us, something that gets red flagged by any number of trigger words or scenarios that we incorporate into the program, then we will take a listen to the call. For example, a call from an individual to a government organization like the CDC, for example.
Okay.
Center for Disease Control, with all the ricin being used and poisons being used in the mails and things like that. We got this. This is a call that came from a remote island to the CDC, and it was a reason for concern enough that we thought we had to take a listen.
Yes, hello. I have a practical but hypothetical question. Do lambskin condoms work if you're using them with sheep?
Oh, come on.
I would be alarmed by that.
Wow, is that disturbing?
Yeah.
When a strange loner who lives on an island calls the CDC, we have to take a listen. It's just, it's a concerning scenario.
I don't blame you. I would expect that.
Turns out that was just creepy. more so than actually dangerous, so we didn't have any concerns. Or if a private citizen is making some sort of bizarre transportation arrangements, let's say it's a citizen who was showing erratic behavior in booking train tickets or plane tickets or something like that. That's another call that we would flag and then have to take a listen to, like this call.
I would like to book a party bus. I would go Chicago for Stanley Cup playoffs. Kings, go Kings, go! Go Kings, win! What? Kings won. Kings no win. I want to cancel party bus.
Yeah, oh, that's harsh.
In that particular case, that was an unnecessary call for us to listen to. But again, it was a bizarre transportation call, so we thought it was worth looking into.
That hurts.
Anytime a questionable individual is ordering large amounts of supplies,
oh, yeah,
we have to look into that. Is he feeding a cell group? Is he using the supplies in some sort of dangerous or negative way? There was a large food order being placed at a small pizzeria here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We were concerned about that, so we tapped this call.
Yeah, I'd like to order. How many pizzas do you have? I want them all. You know, just don't even bother making them. I'm just going to eat the dough and the sauce and the toppings raw.
Yeah, that,
that turned out to be nothing, though, huh?
Yeah, that turned out to be nothing. Just, just a big fat guy eating a lot.
Yeah.
Kevin Bean Show seems to be in your crosshairs, sir, it seems
well,
like.
It was, and that's why we took a look at some other calls. But you'll be happy to know that some of your calls are completely harmless and past mustard. We're able to tap into a call. You know, familiar with an Omar Khan, DJ Omar Khan? You
have of course. Works here behind the scenes, sure.
He is ordering some supplies. Again, we tapped into that call just to make sure, but it turns out everything was fine.
Hey, this is Omar Khan. I need to order some CDRs, and I need some binders, and the time is now! The time is now! The time is now!
He is really in a hurry to get those supplies.
But he yells, the time is now, baby, that's...
Yeah, he was, the time is now, he needed that order, so you guys will have your supplies here at the station pretty soon, I guess.
No, right, maybe you should Omar Khan, again, right? Come listen on. To that one again!
Oh!
Yes! The time is now, he yelled!
Oh, crap.
Yes! Get on!
We world premiered that brand new song from Group Love called Ways to Go with the band a few minutes ago. We're going to play it for you again next, coming up right at 8 o'clock. And then our special in-studio guest will be, oh, I don't know, Tenacious D. Ladies and gentlemen, Tenacious D is going to be here. They also have a huge announcement of something you are not going to want to miss. That is coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, as we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, see what people went to see over the weekend. The Purge. Seems to be the answer. $36.4 million was spent on the sci-fi horror film about the one night a year when anything goes. Also known as
You Are All Going to Die Tonight.
Also known as Kevin's birthday.
How was it, Kevin? Really?
It was,
I know you.
Dumb.
I know you went.
Absurd.
But how was it?
Dumb.
The concept sold you. Like, what if that was a reality? That would be cool. So then you go, and then there's a bunch of things that happen. You just go, I don't even understand why that person's upset and what's happening here, and this is stupid. You walk out going dumb.
Wow. You should write reviews.
I should.
I know less about the film now than I did when you started.
I'm saying each step it took, you went, why? How?
Yeah.
Why? It just didn't make any sense. It was stupid. Back
dumb.
To you. Back to you.
Fast and Furious 6 was second. Now You See Me was third. The Internship came in at number 4. Epic was 5th. Star Trek Into Darkness, After Earth, Hangover Part 3, Iron Man 3, and then The Great Gatsby rounding out the top 10. Speaking of Gatsby and Leonardo DiCaprio, I do want to make a quick correction. I did mention last hour when I was talking about his new 20-year-old supermodel girlfriend.
Yes.
I said that she was a German girl who was a catwalk model, but in reality, she is a Victoria's Secret model. So I just want to make sure.
Oh, okay.
Sure, of course.
Clarify that so no one is confused or dismayed.
He only dates Victoria's Secret models.
It seems to be the case.
Yeah. Starts with that and then works from there.
So the catalog arrives at his house, and he just opens it up.
It's literally a catalog for him.
Yeah, it's literally. He just puts post-it notes on the ones he wants his assistant to line up for him.
And in this order.
It's like trading cards. Got it, need it, got it, need it. It's like you're going through baseball cards when you were a kid. Looks like Ben Affleck's one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. National Enquirer's got a great story about him being approached by two women on the street here in Los Angeles for a photo, but he was late for a meeting and was worried about getting a parking ticket because he had the meter had expired. So he apologized but bolted across the street and fired up his car, but he looked over and saw the two women looking so disappointed he couldn't stand it, got out of his car, came back over, and ended up taking the picture.
Well, that's nice.
That is nice of him.
Asshole!
Oh, come on! It's nice!
That's a nice thing.
Did you watch any of the Tony Awards last night?
I couldn't. I recorded
not even them. A second.
You
no.
couldn't? You no. were under some sort of restraining order, Lisa?
I was stuck on the freeway.
Oh, I'm yeah. sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Very impressive evening once again by Mr. Neil Patrick Harris. Boy, that guy's talented. The opening number, if nothing else, some people aren't into Broadway or whatever, just go to online and look at the opening number. The amount of dancing and singing and running and jumping this guy does, he's like an Olympic marathon athlete. It's amazing, just the stamina, let alone the performance that he gives. Anyway, it was great. Kinky Boots was the big winner at the Tony Awards last night. It was nominated for 13 categories and took home 6, including Best Musical and Best Original Score by Cyndi Lauper.
How about that?
What? How about her being a Tony Award winner? Mike Tyson was there celebrating his one-man show on Broadway.
Yeah.
Was he the only one celebrating?
Very entertaining. No, they brought him out on stage. All right. And Neil was singing with him and everything. It was very, very, very funny. I wish he had done the She Blinded Me with Science routine with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, no kidding.
It would have been like Thomas Dolby and Buzz Aldrin all over again. Silence! Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kate Upton's 21 years old today.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, Capri never got his grubby little hands on Kate Upton. I know that much.
Yet.
Keep your hands off of her.
Yet. Maybe he was waiting until she was 21.
Yeah, maybe. Although his German one now is 20, so apparently yeah. he doesn't have yeah. an age limit. Lily Sobieski's 31 years old today. Actors Shane West and DJ Qualls both turned 35. Our good friend and comedian Bill Burr is 45 years old today. Of the Pixies, Joey Santiago and Kim Deal are both celebrating their birthdays. My buddy Kate Flannery from The Office, she's 49. Elizabeth Hurley turns 48 years old today. Jeannie Triplehorn turns 50. And Jimmy Chamberlain from Smashing Pumpkins and Zwan, 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, it's time to welcome to the studios the D.
I don't like that. So far, off to a bad start.
Dude, that was TNT.
I'm gonna f*** you softly. I'm gonna s*** you gently. They formed a band, they named Tanisha's D. And then they got to pick a destiny. Cause it's a play, a destiny child.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tanisha's D.
There it is. The greatest band in the world, Jack Black, Kyle Gass, in studio with us again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, you guys.
Hi, man. What a package.
That feels good. I want that to play before we enter any room.
I know.
You can have it. We'll give it to you.
I want that to play when I wake up in the morning. I want that to be my alarm clock. Just to soak in my own magical sauce. Feels so good. How you guys doing, man? Good to see you and hear you again.
We are good.
It's good to see you, too. Why has Tenacious D never played the K-Rock Weenie Roast or Acoustic Christmas? Why have you never been on one of
our
shows,
we just don't work well acoustically, I think. We don't.
No,
know
no,
well.
Wait a second. Oh, wait. It's not all acoustic. That's what they say, but then they plug in the amps.
Oh,
and the amps.
Exactly.
It's never been really acoustic.
It's always been semi-acoustic.
Right.
Have we not been invited?
No.
I'm sure you've been invited. I'm just saying you've never done it. I'm just saying we miss you.
All right. Well, you know what? It is on our bucket list. We'll roast some weenies with the best of them.
All right.
Well, Tenacious D has been busy. You guys have been everywhere, and you got lots of countries to hit later on in the year. But you are here today on the Kevin and Bean Show to announce something unbelievably special, the Festival Supreme. You've been teasing us with it, but today's the day that the details are finally revealed. Now, before you tell us what it's all about, how long you been working on this behind the scenes?
You know, we were talking about this right before we came in. We've been talking about this for years. I don't know when the first germination of an idea for a super festival came up. But, you know, I guess it was when we were doing these things that we've come on here to promote. And we're, you know, doing the benefits and we get the other, you know, all of our friends, the Tenacious D and Friends shows that we've done, like for the tsunami benefit or the earthquake in Haiti benefit. And there
you
was some
always
about,
good with that, and you bring your friends.
And there's some about those shows, though, where you get a bunch of comedians and musicians together to create a show that's more powerful than the sum of its parts.
Would we have gotten this show sooner had you smoked less weed?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, everything happens faster.
No, yeah, the first
without weed.
But the first couple incarnations where we were like, oh, it's going to happen, man. They kind of fell apart because of stony bad planning. But,
sure.
Now all the planets have aligned.
Yes, thank God for
that. A big part of it was finding where to do it, because it's a no-brainer. L.A., Comedy Music Fest, everyone already lives here.
Right.
Why isn't there a mega super fest, you know? I mean, you got Coachella, but that doesn't really count. That's just mostly strictly music. So we were like, yeah, it's on. We know all the people. Everyone is interested. Let's do it. And then we started off, let's go downtown to that weird park. In the Dust Bowl. And then when we went down there physically and, like, looked around and...
And then wait, someone said, oh, you could do it at Universal Studios.
Yeah. And, yeah.
And
so
we're like, no.
You get there, you get to Universal Studios, you get to the Dust Bowl, the vibe's not right, and you keep on looking, you realize pretty quickly, L.A. is this awesome entertainment mecca, but there's no real good usable space for a festival. It's all taken, you know? Every square inch of this town has been... You know, moved into an apartment complex and mega stored.
So where did you come up with?
Dude, we finally found it.
Cracked
After
it.
Years of helicopter flying over the city.
Mm. That was you?
Looking for the perfect spot. That was me.
Wow.
The Santa Monica Pier, my
friend.
Yeah.
Kids are happy.
This is the spot. And we went down and saw a mini fest there a few weeks ago, and that was
yeah,
really
what was
good.
It? Float the Boat Festival?
Yeah, Float the Boat. And we're going to have... Four separate stages. The main stage is on the, you know, on the pier.
At the Santa Monica Pier?
Yeah. Well, the pier itself has this parking lot on it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like a wood floor parking lot. No parking is going to happen on there. That's going to be like the main audience stage. And then we're going to have another tent on the other side of the stage.
Oh.
That's going to be like for the more intimate, because you don't want to put stand-up comedy on a huge open-air stage because it kind of gets swallowed up.
Right.
These are the subtleties you lack.
So you have four different performance spots.
Yeah, exactly. And they get smaller and smaller. There's the main stage that's ginormous, like thousands of people, and then there'll be a secondary tent, and then there'll be a smaller tent.
Okay.
And then there'll be a little tiny tent that only fits one audience member at a time. And the shows are only 30 seconds long each, and then you got to get the hell out. I think we're going to have Neil Hamburger in there.
This is the voice of Tenacious D here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about their Festival Supreme, which is just being announced. You're hearing this live for the first time. Saturday, October the 19th,
yes,
at the Santa Monica Pier, an incredible lineup featuring 25 of the best comedians around today. Now, the D, you are also going to be performing, right? Of course.
Yes, of course we will.
In
we
the one-person tent or on the main stage?
We will be playing the main stage. But, I mean, mostly we're going to be hosting. We'll be the host with the most and the carnival barker. We will,
fantastic.
You know, we'll kick it off with a few words, and you know, you'll see us around at the different tents saying, "And now this is going to happen."
And talk about some of the "this is going to happens" that are going to happen.
All right, right out of the gate, you may know Tim and Eric from Tim and Eric, awesome show, great
of course,
job, genius, kind of performance artist, comedians that always blow people's minds live. I don't know if you had a chance to see them live before.
I don't believe I have.
They will change your mind and change your world. Mr. Show, you remember Mr. Show from
the
day?
Love.
Bob and David.
We
will
just had
be
Bob
reunited
on the show last week.
Okay, so you know that their show is like one of the great comedy shows of all time.
No question.
Well, they're going to reunite and they're going to change it up and they're going to call it the Mr. Show Experience. Because it's not just going to be like some greatest hits from their show back in the day. They got some new material that they're going to be unleashing.
Cool.
And then we got the Mighty Boosh, which are the incredible comedians from England, from the UK.
UK, we'll call it.
And they're like the stony Tenacious D of England, you could say. They're genius writers. They're much better sketch writers than we are. And who else we got, Cage? We got Zach Galifianakis. Going to kick out the jams with some music and comedy.
He's doing music?
Yeah. Well, you know, he always has.
I didn't.
He tickles the ivories. He plays a little piano.
Tells his jokes.
The spoken word along with it. And then
Very funny.
He's an incredible live performer. And we got Adam Sandler going to kick out some new jams. Triumph the Insult Comedy Dog. We got Sarah Silverman, Dimitri Martin.
He's a comedy dog.
Who am I forgetting, Cage?
I'll throw in a couple. Tig Notaro is going to be there. Yeah. Hannibal Buress, Eric Idle, Fred Armisen, Will Forte. I mean, Reggie Watts, Beardy Man, Craig Robinson, who we love so much with his Nasty Delicious. He does his music. Speaking of music, Garfunkel and Oates are going to be there. Neil Hamburger.
Yeah. Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous. I mean, I'm going to go so far as to say it's one of the biggest comedy lineups of all time, right?
Yeah,
but this is one day.
It's one day.
Yeah. Well, are we starting at 6 a.m?
No, it starts at 3 p.m. Goes till 10 p.m.
Yeah, you can't linger on stage.
And
you
know, everyone gets 3 minutes, right? Tops.
There's no way to win because you're going to be watching and enjoying, but something else kick-ass is going to be happening in another tent. So you're going to have to go.
It's a giant ADD festival. You have to just run from tent to tent.
That's what it's come to.
All right.
That's what the people need. But have you ever seen Maya's band, Princess?
I have not.
No, I haven't.
It's all Prince songs, but it's with only the ladies.
Hilarious.
And it's really good.
No, it's a ridiculous and insane lineup. Too much to even remember. So I'm going to direct people to festivalsupreme.com. This is the Festival Supreme Festival. We also have it up at krock.com. The show, again, is going to be on October the 19th, which is a Saturday at the Santa Monica Pier. Tickets are going on sale to the public this Friday at 10 a.m. There is also a pre-sale. You can buy tickets for KROQ Street Team members, and that's going to be Wednesday at 10 a.m. Password is Supreme. So you can buy those tickets when they go on sale. This one is not a charity event, right, guys? This is, you guys are pocketing every penny of this, right?
Well, no. I mean, we're giving some money to the performers, and they are free to give the money that they earn to charity. So it may end up being charitable.
That's a roundabout charity video.
I personally would be giving my money to the charity. Of my choice,
of course.
The Santa Monica Pier, by the way, one more question before we take a break and come back with more with the D. Is this the type of place that you're going to be able to stop 100,000 people from showing up and just trying to figure out a way to get into this show?
It's a security nightmare.
It seems like it would be down there.
That's a good choice.
No, we're putting up protective materials around the pier.
Okay.
And there also will be green berets. We're hiring green berets and ninjas.
We're looking
into it's impenetrable.
Electric fences as well.
All right, we'll talk more about the festival. Plus, the guys are going to perform for us, too. Tenacious D is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll return in a moment right after this on K-Rock.
23 minutes after 8 o'clock, The Kevin and Bean Show with Tenacious D in studio.
Our old friends Jack and Kyle are here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Who gets more of the ladies these days between you two? Who's the dream boat in Tenacious D?
Who gets more ladies?
Yeah.
Well, Jack's married.
Right.
Yeah, and Cage...
So there's no ladies happening there.
But Cage has a steady.
So I just wondered... All right, let me rephrase the question. Who do the ladies most want between you two? Because it seems like it'd be a very difficult decision to make.
Well, I seem to naturally carry some lady repellent.
It's not so much that I attract them more. It's just that they run away from Cage and bump into me on the way out the door.
Well, we do have a bait and switch that we try. Because a lot of times the ladies will, you know, they'll be attracted to Jack.
Yeah. So I'm his wingman and I'm the honey butter.
You're the honey butter.
Then they end up with Kate. We've been working on a new song called
Bait and Switch. Yeah.
Something like that.
Tenacious D is here on K-Rock. Why? Because they have just announced the Festival Supreme, which is coming up on Saturday, October 19th at the Santa Monica Pier. There has never been a lineup like this. 25 of the best comedians around today. Tickets are going on sale. K-Rock pre-sale is going to be Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. You can get all the details at krock.com. Mm. They go on sale to the public this Friday.
Tickets are limited.
Tickets are limited, of course. This is for folks who just tuned in. You're not going to believe it. It's everybody from Craig Robinson and Reggie Watts to Triumph the Insult Comic Dog to the D themselves, Sarah Silverman, Zach Galifianakis, Tim and Eric, Mr. Show, Tig Notaro, Hannibal Buress, Eric Idle, Fred Armisen. It's a ridiculous lineup that's happening. And you guys were saying during the break there that you handpicked, like you went through and said, who do we want to see?
Well, yeah, we've been in the biz quite a few years. What are we, like 20 years in the biz now?
That's a long
time.
We're
as old as the hills. So, you know, over the decades, we've compiled a list of the people that have made us laugh the loudest while singing songs and doing ditties. And I don't know if you've ever seen Will Forte from Saturday Night Live sing a song, but we saw him a few weeks ago. We did a benefit a few weeks ago, and he was there, and he was just singing some songs that
Yeah, I'm gonna be there.
I don't know if I've ever. I don't know if I've ever laughed that hard before.
No, no, it was.
He was singing "Yamo Be There," but who is that dude? That
James
wrote
Ingram and Michael
James
McDonald.
Ingram and Michael McDonald. And he starts off, and it's just so bad and horrible. But he's singing it a cappella. There's no band backing him up. And then you realize, as he's about 45 seconds in, he's going to sing the whole song. And there's something, but he's not a bad singer. So, you know, it's actually, he's hitting the, yeah, I'm going to be there.
So he really gives it his all.
Yeah. And it's like, it almost dips into performance art where it turns into torture comedy, where I'm tortured, but I'm laughing so hard.
Right.
And then you start cheering for him to just keep going.
You can make it. You can make it to the end.
Magic.
Yeah. So we asked him, we begged him, please come to our festival. And he jumped in, just like everybody on the list. We kind of couldn't believe that everyone was saying yes, but we
That's
got all
incredible.
Our favorite peeps.
You could go to festivalsupreme.com. That website is up right now, and you can find out all the details and on-sale information is at K-Rock as well.
Speaking of music, guys, you brought in your guitar. We'd love to hear a little
what?
D if you don't mind.
Oh, we
Should
couldn't.
Should we give him a little taste?
We couldn't. Well,
now, does everybody that comes in here play the 9 a.m. croaked out versions of their live songs?
No.
Some do.
I mean,
Some
hit
the lower notes.
It's not an easy task.
You sound right. pretty warmed up, though, you guys. You don't sound like you just rolled out of bed. You sound
no,
like
it's, well, I've been drinking some hot teas, anticipation right. of this, and some. I've been doing some vocal warm-ups. Hey, Rajkosh, can we do the short version? We don't need to do the second verse.
It's up to you, dog.
All right, let's do the short version. And then with eye contact, I'll let you know if I want to cut it short. This is a jam called To Be the Best.
To be the best, you got to pass the test. You got to all the way to the top of the mountain, you can do it again. To feel high, you got to learn to fly, you got to take it to the sky on the wings of an eagle. You're the best in the world. You are the best, but you say you don't know. You got the touch, knock a mile at a show. You can be free, but you know that you gotta believe in the thing that you're dreaming. You search for the meaning. It's very revealing. The power of healing is what you are feeling. You gotta believe that you're simply the best.
Wow.
Yes.
Listen to that.
That's why they're the best band in the world right there, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is. That's it.
Tenacious awesome. D is here. Can you guys stick around for one more?
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Be right back on the Kevin B. John K-Rock. Tenacious D, you guys have rocked a lot of stages in your 20 years playing together.
Go
have
on.
Have you ever crossed paths with the Violent Femmes?
We've never shared the stage with the Femmes, no.
No.
But
a lot of Kings of Leon you opened for? Of course, you opened for Foo Fighters.
We kind of opened for Kings of Leon. Yeah. I mean,
what does kind of mean?
We went on. We were the band right before them.
That's going on.
Then they had a special rule. They were like, the stage must be empty for a full hour after the last band before us.
Is that
really?
Right?
Just to clear the air. I don't want anyone associating us with anything.
Any of them in the eye.
We don't want some residential D.
But it wasn't
residual.
Like,
sorry, residual D.
Well, they didn't give us any shout outs, I don't think. It wasn't like we were coming off stage and they were there for the high fives.
High five. Right.
Nice. We passed the torch to them.
Come out and play with us. None of that.
But if you look at the poster, it looks like we're best friends because we're like Kings of Leon, Tenacious D.
Who have you been starstruck by that you've had the opportunity to cross paths with?
Well, you know, I'm a huge Pixies fan, and we got to party with Frank Black Francis.
Nice. Nice.
A few times, and we actually performed with him a song at a benefit concert. That was a night to remember. How about you, KHO? Oh, wait. What am I talking about? Neil Young, dude.
Yeah.
We partnered
when
with
did
Neil
you play
Young.
With Neil Young?
Well, we did that bridge school benefit.
We just do mostly benefits.
Yes.
Because
no one will pay you.
Play. he has a barbecue the night before, so I'm like poking the fire with like Neil Young and James Taylor and Tom York, and I was like,
oh,
what's
kidding?
Wrong with this picture here?
What's happening right now?
I'm probably the biggest Tom York fan. You wouldn't know it to listen to our music.
No,
but
you
I
wouldn't.
Love the Radiohead, man.
You do
the jams
okay.
are beautiful and hard rocking at the same time, and so I got to meet him, which was another kind of strange situation because he didn't seem to want to talk to me at all. But I was like, I'm not going to let this affect me. I can tell you want to get away from me, but I just have to say a few things, and he just looks so uncomfortable.
That's sort of just him.
There was like an icy wall.
Yeah. And, that's normal. That's sort of him.
And I was trying to – I felt like maybe it was starting to thaw. And then I realized at the end, no.
You finally let go? Yeah.
I finally released and got on our sad tour bus.
I want to find out if it's – I mean, you guys have the advantage, I think, of celebrity when you're talking to guys like – I don't know if Neil Young knows who the hell you are. But you, for most people, you can go up and they're going to listen to you and they're going to talk to you and they're going to be pleasant. They're going to be polite. You know, the rest of us, we don't have that. But when you have the opportunity to sit around with Neil Young, like Kyle, what do you talk to him about? I mean, do you want to ask him about particular songs or albums?
Well, I'd love to. But my brain was doing some desperate gymnastics, and I think we ended up talking about golf.
Golf?
Yeah.
You were just trying to figure out a way to stay at the fire.
Yes, exactly.
And not be asked to leave.
Just don't make any big mistakes.
Do you know what's awesome about Neil Young? He loves trains, choo-choo trains.
Okay.
And he loves Game of Thrones. And I heard that he went to Australia to do a tour. And instead of flying around like all the huge rock stars do, he rented a choo-choo train car. And he decked it out all Neil Young style. Had a chef there just cooking up delicious meats. And it takes like 30 hours to cross Australia on a train.
Oh, my God.
And he just watched Game of Thrones. Just one episode after the other.
He sounds like he might be crazy.
He sounds like he might be my favorite person on the planet. That train.
Speaking of Australia, Tenacious D is here. We'll recap all the information about Festival Supreme here in just a moment about the amazing comedy festival they've got coming up at the Santa Monica Pier. But I got to ask you about one more thing. Since the last time we had you on, you guys were down under as well.
Yeah.
And you did some TV in New Zealand where somehow you got invited to do the weather. You guys remember this?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I think it's what happens in that little town in New Zealand. They don't have a lot of celebs come through. And whenever they do, they say, hey, will you come do the weather? And we're like, yeah, we'll do your weather.
And it doesn't look – I mean, it's unbelievable how many unpronounceable towns there are in a tiny country like New Zealand. It looks like a tough gig doing the weather there, right?
Well, you know, a lot like the United States. It was originally populated by the native New Zealanders, which were aborigines from
Aboriginal land.
And they had all the names of the towns were already taken, you know, once the settlers moved in. And now they're, unpronounceable.
Well, I cut it up to about a minute or so. This is the guys on the weather in New Zealand, and you'll hear Jack in particular talking about his clicker, because you know how they try to make it look so seamless on the TV where they're talking about, and then they want to change the cities that are behind them on the screen, so you use a little clicker here. Yeah. Jack was just going crazy with the clicker. He was just rifling through the slideshow like 100 clicks in a row. And I think that was driving them a little bit crazy, but here's a little bit of the weather.
A very fine treat for us this morning. Jack Black and Kyle as Tenacious D.
Now to the weather. And now, fairly average in the far south, and as you can see, the low single-digit start. Drizzle turns to rain up the coast. Wet in the west, easing in Nelson this morning.
It's cold.
Afternoon should be too bad.
Ugh.
Some drizzle for Gisborne.
Click.
Click. Masterton is a bit rigorous too.
Like, what do you even know what you're saying at this point, Jack?
You know, it's not the problem is not the names of the towns. The problem apparently is I don't know how to read a teleprompter.
All right.
It's very embarrassing.
Here's some more.
But it's sunshine here in Napier and Hastings. Although showers will return tonight.
Whoa.
Click!
Again.
Yeah, my clicker's working now. Sprinklers are on in Taupo and Tokoroa. I know how to read, guys. Becoming fine later this morning. What the f*** are on Tarni? Is fine form with 18. We did it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Would you consider you doing
Give
it?
Give us a kiss.
I think it's a great audition for Kyle and his orc.
Okay, now what does that mean for Kyle and his orc?
I said that we visited Peter Jackson, the Hobbit set, and I said, I'm gonna try to get myself in there as an orc.
Yeah. Okay, so that's how you were known on the news?
Yeah. For a little interview. But then Kyle Gass and his orc obviously implies that I brought my orc with me.
Yeah.
Mr. Blackleby.
That was a tough gig, you guys, doing the weather in New Zealand. That was tough.
But at least he didn't bring it back up again, so that's good.
It kind of went viral, the V word. Sure. People were talking to us about our little weather gig that we did in New Zealand.
It was a setup.
I thought it was funny. All right, before you guys go, October 19th, Santa Monica Pier. Tickets are going on sale to the public this Friday. K-Rock Street Team on sale is going to be Wednesday at 10 a.m. Password is Supreme to buy the tickets for the event, which is one of the greatest comedy lineups ever. Your friends Tim and Eric are going to be there, the Mr. Show Experience, the Mighty Boosh, Sarah Silverman, Zach Galifianakis, Adam Sandler, the Gregory Brothers. I know, it's so much to take in.
Have you ever listened to the Gregory Brothers do that Double Rainbow song?
Oh, yeah. We just had them in a couple weeks ago. They're awesome. They're
Did they sing live?
No, they are going to save that for you.
Oh, they sing so good.
Dimitri
Full
Martin.
Rainbow all the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear that.
Reggie Watts, Craig Robinson, Garfunkel & Oates. The list just goes on and on and on. It's going to be one night only. And again, it's going to be October the 19th at the Santa Monica Pier. Do not miss this event. FestivalSupreme.com. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Let's hear it for the D, you guys.
Yes. Stop
Thanks, guys. Great to see you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
By the way, hell of a show so far with Group Love coming by and then Tenacious D. Dion Cole is going to be joining us in studio coming up next. Of course, very funny comedian. He's got his own TV show debuting on TBS, so Dion will be joining us. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, every Monday morning we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, so you can compare your movie-going weekend with those people who went and made a lot of money for a lot of movie studios, like The Purge. A lot of people went to see that this weekend, 36.4 million people.
They had a great advertising campaign, and they came out the right weekend when there wasn't a lot of competition, so it paid off for them.
However, a lot of people thought The Internship, getting Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson back together again in a slapstick, hilarious comedy, would turned out very well, and it didn't. Only made $18 million. It made it number four this weekend. So The Purge was number one, Fast and Furious 6, Now You See Me, The Internship, and then Epic were your top five. Star Trek Into Darkness, After Earth, The Hangover Part 3, Iron Man 3, and The Great Gatsby rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, this is interesting. Are you familiar with the Lizzie Borden legend? Lizzie Borden took an axe, sure, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Yes.
Famously murdered her mom and dad with an axe back in the late 1800s. They're making a feature film about that story. Christina Ricci to play Lizzie. That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I can see that, too.
Totally.
She's a scary broad. So I can see that happening. More casting news. Leonardo DiCaprio, he has taken on the role of the Mad Monk, the Russian psychic Rasputin, who had the ear of the Russian royal family in the early 1900s, and some say led to their demise there in Russia. I didn't know this, but the reason they brought him in, because he was, some say, a charlatan, a religious sham.
Like a fortune teller type dude?
He was like that, but he was supposedly had supernatural powers and a spiritual connection to God, and he was a lot of things. Or so he claimed. The royal family brought him in because their son suffered from hemophilia. And they brought him in as a healer, as a spiritual healer to heal their child. And once he got in with the royal family, he pretty much called the shots there for about 5-6 years. Interesting story, and I think DiCaprio would be a good choice.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Plus, Rasputin had legendarily one of the largest penises in history. So, you know, with all the workmanship that Leo puts in, I'm thinking maybe he shares that quality with Rasputin, considering all the supermodels he collects.
He does
like
move.
Like so many jelly jars.
He does move from one to the next.
He sure does. He's got a new one, a 20-year-old German Victoria's Secret model named Tony Garn. Apparently they were seeing the sights, you know, like you do when you have a new girlfriend, you want to impress her. So you take her to the Palace of Versailles, and you take her to Morocco, and you take her to Venice.
I'm sorry, what?
The Palace of Versailles, you know?
Sure.
You know how it is when you want to make a good impression on a new girl. That's a good first date for you, Kevin. Wasn't it back in the day? Wasn't the Palace of Versailles one of your first date locations?
It was usually a second date, but...
Oh, no, wait a minute. It was Shakey's Pizza. That's right. I forgot.
With a bunch of lunch.
You just send your limo driver around to pick her up at her five-star hotel that you're putting her up in, and then deliver her to the jet. And then you take off in the private jet and just go, where do you want to go in the world?
Yes.
Bean? What don't
That's
you understand about that?
Okay. Nice to be him.
Reality show news. This celebrity wife swap, this has to go away, right?
I didn't know it was still on.
Yes.
Yeah,
I thought
is.
This was canceled.
No. Another season of celebrity wife swap. This, though, it's hilarious what they're going to do. They're going to take Bristol Palin, and they're going to swap her life with Melissa and Joan Rivers.
Wait.
Does anyone have to be a wife anymore?
Yeah. celebrity wife part.
Or just do they call it celebrity effed up people trade places?
So Joan and Melissa are going to live Palin's life?
Yeah.
What sense does that make?
None.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Later on in the season, Nature Boy Ric Flair and Rowdy Roddy Piper will swap families for a week. Wrestlers? Professional wrestling?
Yeah.
ABC, you're out. You're out of celebrity.
Officially out.
Families to swap, so stop it. Maria Menounos getting some bad press. She's apparently a bitch.
Bean loves her so much.
Know.
You see the pictures of her from this weekend in a bikini? Did you see those?
Yeah. Well,
yes. She's just getting better looking.
Factor in the fact that, according to sources close to the award ceremony, the Gracie Awards Gala, she complained the entire time that her seat wasn't good enough and that she should be up front. She kept grabbing people and anyone who would listen. She told them, I need to be up front. This is not a good enough seat for me. So after about an hour of complaining, they finally move her up front. She ends up leaving early.
You're kidding.
Bitches be crazy.
That's why Bean likes it. It's just a typical Bean move.
No, you can't have my seat, pregnant lady.
Left anyway. And Jennifer Lawrence just keeps getting gooder. Everything you hear about her, you're like, yeah,
good.
More.
And more good.
I just want to hang out with her more and more. She was at the Cannes Film Festival. You know how it is when you're a girl at the Cannes Film Festival and you're away from home.
I don't, but...
She couldn't take the French food any longer. So she ordered her limousine to drive through. Kevin?
McDonald's.
Ordered up a ton of burgers and fries for her and all her friends. Went through the drive through and just got it handed through the limo window and just had a feast in the back of the limo.
That's how you do it.
Good old Mickey D's.
Yeah.
She's a gooder right there.
She sure is.
And someone at the live finale of Britain's Got Talent fulfilled the dreams of a lot of people who have watched Simon Cowell over the years. This is the live finale, Britain's Got Talent. Simon Cowell's there and a bunch of other show's judges. And there are two gentlemen singing The Impossible Dream. They're sort of operatic singers, and they're doing a lovely rendition of that song. They were one of the final three, I think. They were down to the final three people who were going to win the contest. And one of the backup players, a string player from the orchestra that was backing up these two gentlemen, jumped out of her seat, ran to the center of the stage with a carton of eggs, and pelted Simon Cowell with raw eggs.
No. Oh, my God.
Willing security, to lose her job over
security
that.
Security rushed the stage, grabbed her, and pulled her off. To their credit, the two guys who were singing didn't miss a beat, kept going through the whole thing. She apologized later for overshadowing the performers while they were doing their song. But it turns out that she was a contestant on the previous season.
Oh, what a surprise.
And Simon Cowell had said horrible things about her.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
So she got a little revenge.
Here's a face full of egg.
Kill revenge, pelting him with raw eggs.
Not my cup of tea.
Kind of funny. I don't know if they're going to charge her with anything or whatever, but...
I don't know what you can charge her with.
Unlawful
throwing of eggs?
Possession of a dangerous egg. Today's celebrity birthdays. Supermodel Kate Upton is 21 years old.
Come on.
Right. Come on.
Tweeting more photos of her, by the way, today.
Photos of her on the set of that movie she's making with Leslie Mann.
Well, I know I didn't. Of course I did.
Her just dancing around there.
Yeah.
Shirt open, bra, just barely hanging on for dear life.
What's happening?
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Lily Sobieski's 31 years old today. Actors DJ Qualls and Shane West share this birthday. They're both 35. Comedian Bill Burr's 45. Joey Santiago, The Pixies, and Kim Deal of that same band celebrate their birthdays today. Joey's 48, Kim is 52. Jeannie Triplehorn celebrates her 50th birthday. Drummer Jimmy Chamberlain from Smashing Pumpkins and Zwan is 49. And actress Kate Flannery who, of course, you know from The Office. She plays Meredith on that show. She's 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 KROQ at 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.
By the way, you are moments away from being eligible for K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination Number 4, which is Rock in Rio and Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. This is our latest concert we're signing you up for all this week here on K-Rock. Muse, Metallica, 30 Seconds to Mars, The Offspring, and more. Got a chance for you to qualify. Get on the standby boarding list in about 6 or 7 minutes. Details at krock.com.
Just before we do that, again, we want to congratulate Christine Anna Durand from Rancho Palos Verdes, is our Reading Festival winner, going to just outside London to the Reading Festival.
Nice.
Sweet. Congratulations to her.
Hey, Dion Cole.
Hello.
Welcome back, man. Thanks for letting us take care of some business here. How have you been?
I was like, who's that? I was listening to all the announcements. So I'm like, who's that? I'm great. How you all doing?
Very good.
Doing great. Dion Cole is a stand-up comedian who is very funny, has been working on the Conan show for the past few years, and has his own show debuting tonight on TBS called Dion Cole's Black Box.
Yes.
Which I think is a hilarious title. And I hope it is not in any way sexually oriented. What's going on, Dion?
If it is, that's a major announcement.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, it's not enough having a full time job working for Conan. Now you got a night job. What's up?
I know, man. Right? No, I'm excited. I'm excited. It's my very first show. Just me, 20 minutes from my perspective, talking about news, what's in the news, and pop culture, and television, and, you know, just my point of view, you know, and, you know, delivering it the way that I can. If you like the way I do, you know, commentary on Conan, then you'll really appreciate this show, you know.
It's got to be so tough to look for, as a professional comedian with so much competition, so many people out there commenting on the same story, on how to find an angle that no one else is doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just think that my perspective is, you know, warranted. I mean, it's not a lot of black people doing this. So I thought it was a good avenue. And it's not just for black people. It's just, you know, my opinion. You know, it's the same wheel, different rim. That's all it is. And I feel as though that, you know, I have a perspective and a voice as well. And speak to the, you know, the average guy out there, like at the barbershop, on the basketball court, just the way people really talk about it without being snarky and just giving a real opinion about everything that's going on.
Well, when the first promos came on, I thought, Reggie Watts finally got a haircut. I'm so happy. What are you most... I mean, I guess with Conan, you pretty much have to write about everything in the news. I mean, if it's the Kardashians and Kanye, or if it's the NSA scandal, you've got to figure out a way to make a joke about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, some stuff that I write about sometimes is a little too racy, you know, for, you know, Conan to be like, ah, I don't want to do that.
Really? He backs off of it?
Yeah, and I'll keep it. So this is a show of everything that I kept right here. That's all this is.
The stuff that you didn't want to throw away.
Yeah, topical, and then the other evergreen stuff that I never let go. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the interesting things. I remember the last time you were on and you told us how you got hooked up with Conan in the first place, which was you were a guest on his show, and he was just really impressed by your point of view, and he asked you to be a writer on the show. You'd never done anything like that before, if I remember what you told
us
before.
Absolutely, that's exactly what happened.
You had to write for a guy who really couldn't be more different than you, because you have a completely different background, you know, Chicago, Southside and stuff. Now you're writing for Harvard Boy, and you got to try to write jokes that are going to work coming out of him, which must have been a real learning curve back in the early days.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, when it comes to comedy, it's you know, conflict of interest is, you know, what comedy is kind of built on or whatever. And to mesh those two backgrounds, his background and my background, being from the streets of South Side of Chicago and him being from Boston and being a Harvard graduate,
Did you have a lot of jokes that you really believed in, but he wouldn't?
Absolutely. I had to learn as a writer to not be married to my material because it's not about that. And Conan taught me that as well. He was like, I used to be like upset when he didn't like something.
Right.
But he used to tell
me,
he used to tell me though, like, every moment can be magical. And if every moment was magical, we wouldn't have magical moments. So you'll work and write towards that magical moment. And I had to learn how to, you know, digress from loving the these pieces that I wrote and know that, you know, there's a place for them and just hold on to them.
It's difficult, though, to mesh with somebody like that when you're writing comedy, and he's the only one really delivering it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think when we don't get it, that's when it should be written. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he doesn't get something I do or vice versa, that's when it's like, yeah, that's funny. Like, I remember I didn't know what Oktoberfest was.
And you never heard of that?
I never heard of it. Yeah. And people was telling me about it. And I was like, what a German drinking day. I'm like, when black people going to get a drinking day? Besides tax season. Tax season is our biggest drinking day. You know?
Dion Cole is here on the Kevin Reed Show. It's called Black Box, the name of the show that premieres tonight on TBS. Why TBS? Because of the Conan connection? Is that why? Because it seems like most people would expect this show to be on Comedy Central.
I mean, basically, we went to the network that was doing us justice and gave us love, and you know, gave Conan his show, and yeah, I mean, by all means, we had to.
And they like you. They know you, and they like you.
Yes,
so they're,
yes,
they
and
believe
they're familiar
in you, right?
With me, and they familiar with me. They let me, you know, have leeway, and they, you know, believe in me to do exactly what they want and what I want to do. So it was no jumping through hoops or nothing.
That's
it
nice.
Was just a marriage.
Yeah, good
right
fit.
There.
Let's play a clip before we got to take a break and come back talk more with our guests. This is from Dion Cole's Black Box talking about, the recent news about Jason Collins and the NBA coming out. I think we all heard about that.
This is a great time for the NBA. And I want to say congratulations to Jason Collins for being the first active player to come out in the history of major sports. He deserves our admiration and support. But there's someone else that needs our support right now. And that would be Jaren Collins, Jason's identical twin brother, who also played in the NBA. That's right, because from here on out, people are going to be bummed to find out that he's not the famous gay one. So, Jaren, get used to saying things like this. Nope, I'm the other one. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'll give him your phone number. For the absolute final time, I am not Jason Collins. And finally, I am proud to be a role model, and thank you for the free meal.
There you go.
Good luck, Jason and Jaren.
Dion Cole is our guest. More in a moment here on the Kevin Amici Show on K-Rock.
Emmy-nominated comedy writer, comedian, and actor Dion Cole. Boy, that makes you sound impressive, doesn't it, Dion? In studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, debuting tonight on TBS at 10 with Dion Cole's Black Box. Looks like a very, very funny show.
Thank you.
Hey, you ran into Tenacious D on your way into the show this morning.
That's
kind of cool.
I did. I was sitting on a couch, and Jack comes in, and he goes, I don't know how to say this, but do not go in the bathroom.
Oh, come on.
And we need a plumber because it's not going down.
Come on.
And then he walked out the room. And I was just like, how, now, what a better way to start your day. Huh? Jack Black just came in the room, and yeah,
I'm like, why does that happen?
You know, I don't even want no.
Would you ever do that anywhere?
Every morning from now on is going to be horrible.
Right.
There's nothing going to compare to that at all. Yeah. Like, that was the best, the greatest.
That is that's
good visual.
That's not a good visual at all.
For those of us that have to work here, it's unfortunate.
That's right.
Don't use that room.
You told a story the other day, and we didn't get to the, I didn't know about this last time we had you on, and I'm gonna beg you to repeat it for Kevin and others who didn't see your interview with Carson Daly the other night.
Yes.
Because you told the story that, if true, is one of the craziest things that I have ever heard of happening to a comedian. You know what I'm talking about?
About me getting stuck up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
About being forced to tell jokes at gunpoint, yep. Kevin,
what?
Is the story.
What?
Yeah. In Cleveland, I think. It was in Ohio. I did a show, and I left, and there was a dude in the audience. He was disrupting my show, and I said a little something about him, and he laughed about it. I mean, everybody laughed, and then when I left, he caught me in a parking lot, and he had one of those guns with them long banana clips and just jumped out the car and was like, yeah, be funny now. Be funny now, funny man. Yeah,
oh my,
you saying all them jokes,
God.
Crack some jokes now. And I'm just like, dude, just hold on. He was like, no, crack some jokes now. Like, tell me a joke. And I just was like, what does a gay horse eat? And he was like, what? And I was like, hey. And then he was just like smirking and started laughing.
Wait,
and then
what?
He was just like, yeah.
That was it?
And then he was just like, say another one. Come on. And I was just like,
that joke saved your life.
Saved my life. I might get it tattooed on my back. saved my life. And I told him, I said, put the gun. If you put the gun down, I'll tell you a series of jokes. And then I heard the police, and he heard him, and he jumped in his car, and he left.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now,
be funny
were,
now.
Were the police just coincidentally coming by? They because they didn't know what was going on.
I think somebody called the police because people were in the parking lot, and they saw this guy with the gun on me, you know.
That's some pressure to be funny.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
That's crazy.
Usually, when I do bad in a club, I leave on a whole nother name. So won't nobody know it's me, you know. I'd be like, I'm Chad. Good night. Everybody like, Chad sucked.
So you wait to see the response of the audience, and then you tell them your name or not.
Right.
But that just, I mean, every once in a while, something will happen in your life that you're processing. And while it's happening, you're thinking, I got to remember this moment, or I can't believe this is happening, or
absolutely.
What's happening? I mean, you must have had a million thoughts going through your head as soon as
you know what the main thought is? Like, when you were in that situation or a gun is on you, I don't know why, but I was thinking about the newspaper.
The newspaper?
I just kept going, what is the newspaper going to say
tomorrow?
What's the headline going to say tomorrow? And that's all that was in my head. What is the headline going to say? Is the headline going to be like, comedian got shot, da, da, da? Like, what is the headline going to say? Like, wow, is it going to be just here in Cleveland? Is it going to be nationwide? Like, that's all that was in my head. It was the weirdest thing. I didn't think about my family, my son.
None of the stuff everybody else was supposed to.
I was thinking of headlines. That was crazy.
Would you mind if I just jot down a headline before you shoot me?
Right. Can I leave a little something for my family?
Dion Cole was funny, but not funny enough. Comedian shot dead at 28. Well, that is one of the craziest stories ever. And I guess look, you've earned your stripes at this point, then. You deserve to be doing comedy, man, because you put in the time.
Yes, that's amazing.
Well, yeah. TV is going to seem easy compared to that, I guess.
Yes, it has been too.
I wonder if that guy's been following your career ever since. Like, I wonder if he's excited you're on TBS tonight. Hey, I didn't shoot that mother effer.
I bet he's at home. I bet he's at home smoking, going, "That's old boy. I almost shot and killed, and I could have killed him."
And he told me that joke. It was so funny.
I know. I need to thank him too for leaving me alive,
keeping you alive.
Yeah, keep me alive. You know.
You got the best party story, man. Whenever people are telling their stories, you win.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, we're out of time. The show looks hilarious. It is called Dion Cole's Black Box. I am still not sold on the name, but I am going to check it out. It's going to be tonight at 10 on TBS. And, of course, look for Dion as he continues to work for
Thank
the Conan.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you again, sir. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dion.
Got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on?
What a show today. What a big show.
Show
of
crazy
large size. You had your group Love,
right?
World premiere.
Then bang, right after that, what do you got?
Tenacious D. With a huge announcement about one of the biggest comedy shows I've ever heard of.
Maybe
since the days of Comic Relief. I can't imagine a lineup like that so full of funny people. And they told some great stories. Remember that story they told about who was the band they opened for? And they said they needed an hour after they performed to clear the stage.
It was Kings of Leon.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah. I remember that story as if it happened just mere hours ago.
To clear the air. I don't want anyone associating us with anything.
Any of them in the eye.
We don't want residential D.
But it wasn't
residual.
Right,
sorry, residual D.
Well, they didn't.
Come on, I corrected it.
Residential D. Name of their new album. Hope you all pick it up.
Residential.
Can it be corrected now? Yes, you can.
I don't live in this world.
You can correct it all you want.
All right.
But I'm still going to love it. I don't care what you do after that, man.
I just ruin it when I correct it.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Boy, Kevin's really bitching about this Purge. I'll tell you that much. All I know is crying. Other people went to see it as well. $36.4 million at the box office. Made it number one this weekend.
But you thought it was dumb before you went, though, Kevin. You can't be upset that it's dumb.
No,
I thought it was dumb, right?
I thought that the premise was out there. So that was my
you
use
told
of
Star Ethan Hawke. It was dumb.
Yes. Stupid, I believe, was the word. Oh. But the concept was the best part of it. The delivery was terrible. It was awful. You leave going, really? But how come and why F you?
Wow.
Same reaction Kevin had to Schindler's List, by the way.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
Fast and Furious 6 was second. Now You See Me, third. The Internship, new comedy starring Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, underperformed. $18 million made at number four at the box office. Epic was fifth. Star Trek Into Darkness, sixth. After Earth, The Hangover Part 3, Iron Man 3, and The Great Gatsby. Number 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to the lovely and talented Linda Cardellini. If you're watching Mad Men at all this season, you know how brilliant she has been in that show.
She's terrific.
She, of course, got a big break on Freaks and Geeks. That's when I first fell in love with her. She was on ER as well. Just got married over the weekend to her boyfriend, Steven Rodriguez. I'm glad they got married. And you know what the nicest part was? Their 14-month-old daughter was there. Really? You got around to it, did you?
A little busy.
Speaking of babies, Kim Kardashian's life should be wonderful right now. She, of course, is with child, is going to pop any day. Or she's going to deliver a litter. I can't imagine whatever her size is in.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
No, sir, that's incorrect. She's miserable. She's fighting with Kanye West, apparently.
Uh-oh. Hmm.
Why is Kanye upset with her? Well,
her mom?
Sources close to the couple say that he's ticked off that she's filming every single solitary moment of her life and pregnancy for television, and he's had enough. Don't you know what you're getting into if you're dating Kim Kardashian?
Exactly.
Don't you know
that's
part of the deal?
But if you're Kanye West and you're tired of publicity.
Well, he's not a celebrity. I remember he said that to me. Yeah, he told me that from the stage. He's not a celebrity.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. Here's the hint you pick up on before you get into a heavy relationship, before you impregnate Kim Kardashian. You came over to clean out her closet and they shot that. They shot that with cameras.
That's true.
if they're gonna film that mundane moment of you buying her new dresses, you think they're gonna ignore her being pregnant, Kanye? Come on, man.
Yeah, he had to know this was what he was in store for.
Well, apparently he's not happy. A lot of celebrity criminals today in the news.
All right.
Cody Longo, star of Nickelodeon's Hollywood Heights, was popped on DUI charges last Thursday after allegedly flashing his lights and driving aggressively at 2:30 in the morning. Listen, if you're loaded behind the wheel, don't start getting all pissy with other drivers. Don't be flashing your lights and zooming up behind people and getting right on their bumper and scaring them and stuff. You just stay under the radar. Just
that must have been cool. A moment of party.
It was a moment of party for him. It wasn't so much for the other people. Erin Brockovich, remember that movie with Julia Roberts?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
She was arrested this weekend, the real Erin Brockovich. She was popped for driving under the influence. It was a boat.
What?
Yeah, she was on Lake Mead in Vegas, and she was popped for intoxicated sailing, I guess. And actress Shannon Richardson, who has appeared in both The Walking Dead and The Vampire Diaries, she was arrested Friday because they say she was the one sending those ricin-laced letters to President Obama and New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
What?
Yeah, what's up?
Isn't that crazy?
It is
really
crazy.
Yeah. The story is bizarre. Shannon originally told the FBI 2 weeks ago that her husband, Nathan, was the one who sent the letters, claiming she found a suspicious material in their fridge that turned out to be ricin. After questioning the husband, Nathan, the FBI arrested her, saying she was the one who did it.
I was surprised by what came out of the news around that story, which is that the United States Postal Service photographs the front and back of every envelope that it goes through the mail.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
No wonder they're losing money.
And no wonder I'm 25th in line every time I go over to that one over there in Studio City, and I'm standing there. Really? It's one. Are you surprised that there are people trying to mail things? Could we get a second person behind the counter working?
And every once in a while, the second person will walk up and check something, but
then turn around and walk away.
Wait, no! I'm just trying to pick something up! Oh, come back!
That would be a 30-second visit.
You know why? That guy's in the back taking pictures of mail.
Yep.
He's got a Polaroid out.
Instagramming them all out.
He's just waving that Polaroid back and forth, just waiting for it to develop. Turn it over. Second Polaroid, just waving it.
One photo every 60 seconds.
Putting in one of those three-ring binders. It's like Gene Simmons' girl collection back there with mail. Evan Post Office. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kate Upton is 21
years
old.
Come on with the come on, right?
This should be a national holiday. We should have the day off, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should.
We should have the day off just to go home and just take our pants off and relax,
to just a never-ending barrage of Kate Upton photographs.
How can she just now be 21? That's my question.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You guys are going to figure out some way to twist this and make it sound creepy, but
we have to do that. Come on, don't speak.
See, just now back off of that. I've got a legitimate question here. Don't you sort of hope she dies really young so we don't have to see her get old?
How could we possibly twist that and say it was something creepy?
Because you're going to try to make it seem mean or wrong or bad somehow.
You're just a complete dick.
It's a legitimate question. No one wants to see Kate Upton at 60, right?
Look at Lauren Hutton. She looks amazing.
I want to remember Kate Upton the way she is today.
You'll still have those pictures, Bean.
Not a minute older.
You'll still have all the pictures she took. You don't have to end her life.
And we're going to miss out
what's wrong with you?
On the next decade of her still being smoking hot till she's 31.
And you'll be dead when she's 60.
I'm not saying kill her today, but it would be easier to kill her young rather than
have to decide.
I'm just saying I don't want to be sitting around when she's like 30, 35 and going, what do you guys think now? Is it time to pull the plug now? She's starting to talking. You know what I mean? Come on.
All right. That's creepy.
I think Lisa said it for all of us, and she simply gave a defeated stop talking.
Asshole.
Come on.
All right, I'm not coming in tomorrow. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow morning we have live music. We've got Jimmy E. World in the studio. Got a brand new album called Damage coming out.
Wouldn't it be better if they just died, though, now, so we don't have to witness the decline of the musical output?
But they have their new album, so he's going to give them another 8 months or nine. They're going to perform live tomorrow morning. We also have Adam Sessler talking about E3, and we have Randy Couture in studio.
Ooh. Wow.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.